Welcome. So we all have a paper on our table with a bunch of shapes on it, and I just want you to take a moment and pick out something that doesn't belong. Just look at it and tell me which one doesn't belong. Get louder. Huh? Okay. Does anyone want to take a shot? Miss... Woo! The hexagon. Okay. The obvious one is the gray. Okay. Anyone else have any other ideas? So, we have three triangles and a hexagon. We have three white objects and a gray object. And I won't get too mathematical, but there's also a different amount of angles on each of these. And the exercise was really just to show that we can all have different perspectives, but we can't see, well, the different angles. We can't always see all the perspectives that there are. And I just wanted to get you thinking about how God has a different perspective than we have. And this workshop is an introduction to a project that Liz Robbins and I have been working on. It's a ladies' women's discipleship book. And I'm just going to dive in because I don't have too much time because Liz's video is super long. Excuse me. So I believe that as women, our first step in discipleship is learning our identity in Christ. And a disciple is defined in many different ways, and there is not a specific definition given in the Bible to look to for exactly what it means. But just as a generalization, because I needed to give us some definition of it, I say that a disciple is anyone who believes in Christ and is learning of him and from him. And there are certain practical and biblical ways that we can learn of him. I think the number one way for my life is the Word of God. It's just so amazing that God gave us his thoughts and his written word to study and learn. And of course, we have church, pastors, teachers, Bible studies, Bible college, wise friends, spiritual, the body of Christ, and we have prayer. And this is just the beginning of our path, the beginning steps to go down this path that we take, and we begin to learn about who we are in him. And our book project started from a women's discipleship we were doing with some young ladies. And I also help with the mom's Bible study, and I'd wanted to have something to give to new moms about different topics and specific things that women face that maybe have questions that aren't going to be answered from the pulpit. And anyways, the book is about the importance of seeking wholeness, spiritual wholeness in Christ, and it all begins with our identity. So I'm going to speak about that, and then Liz's video kind of goes into the discipleship side of it. So everyone is looking to be known and to have an identity, and this stems from our base need that we want to be defined, we want to be understood, and then we want to be accepted. And we are offered, like I am offered definitions of who I am by everything in my life, in both good and bad ways. Like I'm a female, what does that mean? I'm a sister, I am a wife, I am a mother, I'm a stay-at-home mom, I do accounting, and even my ministry can give me definition, like, oh, I work with moms, I'm a mom's Bible study leader. And each of those roles has a definition. And not only that, but each of those roles have, like, we have a unique perspective about what those roles look like, but we also assign different values to them. So it's, some people think that for me to be a stay-at-home mom is the most valuable thing I could do. And other people are like, you should have a career. There's different ways. There's so many different perspectives and different roles we have. But who am I? Yeah, I'm a mom, but I'm not only a mom. And I'm a wife, but that is not me. That is not who I am. I am not any of the roles that I have. My worth and my value is not in my role. I have value because Christ valued me. He values me, he died for me, and he first loved me. And that is the good news, you know. So I am now on this path of learning my identity in him. I am looking away from myself and I'm looking to him. And as a follower of Christ, many, many things happen, but the three that I wanted to share. At first, I'm learning who I am. Like, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, and that's amazing. Second, I have my expectations in him and the promises that he gives in his word, so I don't have to set improper expectations for myself or for those around me. Like they spoke about very much this morning. Like, our expectations can be in God, and he will always meet them. And this really gives me freedom to love the people around me. And thirdly, my standards are derived from him. Like, I do not live according to the world standards. We do not live according to the world standards. And we do not measure ourselves by their guides. Because what defines us? He does. Like, his thoughts towards us. And it's so vital to learn from his word. I learn and gained my identity in him. Like, he teaches me who I am, even if everything around me tells me something different. Because the world doesn't define me, my circumstances don't define me, and my role does not define me. And I think in our current culture, that message is missed. It's, or, you know, they are telling us we are all of these things. Like, this makes you who you are. And it's not true. One illustration that I wanted to share, I was just thinking about the first disciples, because I was like, I'm going to talk about discipleship. The first disciples are a good place to start. But these were ordinary men who met Jesus, and they were called to follow after him. And by following, they became the first disciples. They were not operating in their roles of fishermen, tax collectors, physicians, husbands, fathers, all the things that were a part of their lives. But they were just following him. They were living and learning from Christ. And he came and he changed their lives. But I was thinking, this is from John 21. Then Christ died. And what happened after that? Even Peter thought that he was still a fisherman. Like, Christ dies. Like, all the things that Peter saw in his life with Christ, the miracles and unbelievable things, like, Peter believed, but Christ died, and Peter was still identifying himself as a fisherman. You're like, oh, like, he's back at it. He's going fishing, because that's who he was, you know. But it wasn't. Like, Christ came back while Peter was fishing, and again, like, he once again was like, Peter, follow me, you know, because we are not the roles that we have. And it's really easy to see ourselves with the wrong perspective or not with God's perspective. It would be very easy and natural and normal for me to assume that I wouldn't make a good disciple, because on my own, I definitely wouldn't. But the good news is that it's not about me, it's about him. And as I learn, like, I am who he says I am, and as I build a relationship with him, then I know that I will be changed, and I have been changed, and it's an ongoing process. but I just wrote down a few examples of who I am in him and who you are in him. So I'm going to run down this list of verses quickly. In Ephesians 2:8, saved by grace through faith. This is our gift. Like, I am saved. Romans 8:1-2, that, like, I am not condemned. Hebrews 13:5-6, I am never alone. I will never be forsaken. Like, I am helped by God. 1 Peter 2:10, we are now God's people. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation. And 1 Peter 5, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you and me. Well, these are the promises that are in his word. And just as we begin to learn about our identity in him, we gain more and more to share with other people. So we have our identity in him as our foundation, and we're being discipled by God before we disciple others. And, you know, we all have our own perspectives, but God's is greater. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we are all being transformed into the same image from one glory to another, for this comes from the Lord. And now all that is left for me, once I am in my ongoing journey, learning my identity with him, the only thing left for me is just to be available. And, you know, in my availability, I am able to love with his love because I am receiving from him. And I can just be like funneling it in and giving it out, you know, because in my nature, like, I'm not able to do that on my own. And it worked out well for me because Pastor Schaller has been speaking about identities the last three services I attended anyways. And his last message Wednesday night ended with this comment: if we seek and find him, he will make us lights in the dark world. He will teach us holiness, and change will happen. And if we seek, that's Matthew 7:7, I think. It's one of my favorite promises from God, that if I seek him, I will find him. I think that's an incredible promise. And also, I'm a big fan of Romans. I'm a big fan of God's word in general, but a big fan of Romans. And I was just looking at, in my studying, Romans chapters 5 through 8, if you wanted to learn about our new identity some more and do some reading on your own. These are just the topics my Bible has above the different sections, the titles. But it's chapters 5 through 8, peace with God through faith, dead to sin, alive to God, slave to righteousness, released from the law, life in the Spirit, heirs with Christ, a future glory, and God's everlasting love. And those are some edification and encouraging chapters for myself that we really can learn about who we are, because, you know, everything in life is going to try to tell us who we are. But really, this is the truth. It's not that I have my own truth or you have yours, but this is the truth, and it's so important to learn about it, and it's really awesome. So I'm going to go start Liz's video. I have to go outside.
Hi, everyone. I'm coming to you from Izmir, Turkey, my living room. I hope you're all having a great women's seminar so far. Before I get started, I just wanted to say thank you to Ciara and everyone else who worked on the seminar, and I'm really honored to be able to be a part of it from this far away. It's a little risky having this done by video, but I'm thankful they were up for it and that I could be a part of this. Discipleship, women's discipleship has been a huge part of my life recently. And as Abby mentioned, we're writing a book titled Daughter and Disciple. So it really has been something that's lit a fire in us in the last few years. So I'm really happy to be here. A quick introduction before I get started. My name is Liz Robbins, previously a Lange, always a Lange. My parents are Pastor Brian and Paula Lange, the best, the very best, very thankful. I grew up as a missionary kid, and shortly after moving back to Baltimore, graduated from high school and started going to Stevenson University, and I graduated with a bachelor's in biotechnology. I am a nerd. Hello to all my fellow nerds. I graduated when I was 20 years old and then jumped right into Bible school, and I did 2 years of Bible school. And it was a little bit before I graduated from college that I would say I really started to become a disciple. Before that, it had really been a lot of my beliefs and my convictions were more borrowed than my own. And so that was the beginning of the process of growing my own faith and having a real personal relationship with God that is ongoing. After 2 years, I got my associate's in biblical studies from MBCNS. And that fall, my husband and I got married. We just celebrated our 11th anniversary. Shortly after getting married, a few months actually, after getting married, we moved to Turkey and we joined Pastor Mati there. We lived there for about 2.5 years. At 25 years old, I became a mother to my firstborn, Paige, and we now have 3 kids. Paige is 8, Hazel is 6, and my son, Roger, who we call Dodge, is 3.5. And in the midst of all of that, a lot of growing, I've had some very real spiritual crises and, spiritual reckoning, so to speak. But God has been good and faithful and kind, and I'm grateful for all of it. We're now back in Turkey, but now we live in Izmir and we're planning a church here. We have a very small team, but God is doing stuff and we are really pumped to just be a part of it and to witness what he does and to hear the testimonies of these people and to be a witness to that as well. It is such a privilege. My life looks a lot like most moms, really. A lot of snack making and dinner making, Lego playing and Play-Doh and mornings and getting your kids to brush your teeth. So my life looks a lot like most mothers. In the midst of that, I have the honor and the privilege to disciple a lot of newly saved young women here in Turkey. And I really do call that an honor because to be able to pour God's word and God's heart into somebody who's never heard it before and probably didn't know it and even had a completely different understanding of God is an incredible gift, and it never gets old. It's addicting, in fact, in the best way. But being able to reflect his character is a challenge, but again, so worth it to be faithful the way that he is, to be kind the way that he is, to be patient, to be slow to anger. These are things that I have not perfected, but they are my greatest joy as well as my greatest challenge here. And I love that, being able to represent Christ in a 99% Muslim country where Christ is misunderstood or not known at all is really amazing. And we take every day as a gift. We really do. And so let's just dive right in here. My first point when it comes to discipleship is that the foundation of it absolutely has to be your identity in Christ. Your identity as a daughter of God, who you are because of what Christ has done for you. when you become adopted into this family, you are no longer an orphan and you are a daughter, and everything that that means. It takes a lifetime to learn that, but it also, it comes to you in a moment. In that moment of salvation, you're given this incredible inheritance and these rights and privileges and identity that are yours to own and to learn. And that is the joy of being a Christian. And when you have that as your foundation, you become a disciple and you just start to disciple others because you want people to know what you know. It's as simple as that. So I would say, you know, if you don't know who you are, you will make a poor disciple. So start there. Young or old, newly saved or saved for decades, get back to the basics, which is who you are in Christ, and the rest and peace and confidence that can be found in that. So for me, this is literally not even daily. It's a moment by moment battlefield to go back to this. Because when I am not focused on what God thinks of me and who I am as a disciple, and when I'm discipling others, I am more easily angered. I am quick to judge. I am not patient. I'm insecure. I'm looking for praise. These are all things that when we find our identity in Christ, it is the solution to our broken and sinful hearts. And we know this, and it's the same in discipleship. So I'm constantly having to go back to that, but it is a fight worth fighting, I will say. And that leads me to point number two, which is that you can't teach what you haven't learned. And that's a pretty basic concept, but I really believe it's true in terms of discipleship, that you cannot put the cart in front of the horse. You have to know who you are before you can tell somebody who they are. And when I say no, I don't mean knowledge, right? We know in 1 Corinthians 8, in the second part of verse 1, it says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And that should just be written on the top of your notes right now, if you're taking notes, which would be, I would be deeply honored that you were taking any notes from this. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I love this because it goes along with the theme of this seminar so well, that women are builders, that we are naturally meant to nurture and encourage and build, whether that's physically with children or with the people around us. We are builders, and to build up requires love. And so we need to learn love. And if you've learned it, then you can really give it and you can really teach it. And so that's just an important point. And when we talk about knowledge puffing up, I think we all know exactly what that means. I know in my life, it's so easy to know something and to be a talking parrot. It's easy to have a canned answer, but discipleship requires more. We really need to drink in the word. Christ said that we drink it in. And I love that picture because it's different from just knowing. To drink it in and have it permeate all of you and bring health and life to your whole body, and it really becomes a part of you. It goes back to that identity. It is a part of you. It does not change. And once you have that, once you've taken that on, you can share that with incredible boldness and confidence and an effectiveness that you wouldn't have otherwise. And I know that is true for my life. I have been the most effective in these discipleship friendships that I have when I'm sharing from a place of transparency and personal experience. And that leads me to point number three, which is that discipleship is personal and discipleship is friendship. I think the word disciple can be intimidating, because you think you have to be a certain type of person, a certain status, a certain level of spiritual to be a disciple. But when you look at the people who Christ called his disciples, they were his friends. They were just the people who wanted to do life with him. They were not people who came and listened to him speak once a week. Did you get that? Because that's a big point. Disciples are not people who came and listened to Jesus speak once a week. Jesus spoke all the time in different places, and people came to listen to him. But the disciples were the ones who lived, walked by his side, ate with him, slept next to him, and learned from him constantly. And that is the difference between a disciple and just a daughter who isn't ready to be a disciple. So I would say discipleship is personal, and it is friendship. Christ called his disciples friends, right? And I would encourage you guys as a disciple looking to disciple others or wishing someone would disciple you, be available to these friendships. They don't have to look the way you expect them to, but ask God to open your eyes and to bring these spiritually centered friendships that fall into these categories, because they really are an amazing gift. Another thing is something Ava Plunkett mentioned at convention that has stuck with me, which is to really, as a disciple, you cannot rely on your natural gifts and strengths. Sometimes your apparent strengths are actually your spiritual weaknesses. I have found this to be the case a lot for me. The things that you're good at are not necessarily the things God is going to use. I don't know if that hits a nerve with you, but it definitely does with me. I found that to be true. And really, what is our strength? Our strength is humility. When we know that we are not sufficient for these things, that we are not able, the sooner we know that as disciples, the better. We learn from him, we learn who he is, and we point people to him. We do not disciple people to ourselves or to our own gifts and our own strengths. We don't look for people who look like us and have the same strengths as us. But we are available to pour out to the nearest person at any time. And we're just looking to show people Christ, to point people to him. Ravi Zacharias, an amazing apologist, in an interview in Baltimore, actually, gave this definition about what it is to be an apologist, and it was bush clearing, like clearing the obstacles so the listener can take a direct look at the cross of Jesus Christ. And I love this because, of course, as a missionary, you can easily feel pressure to perform, to produce, and picturing it this way, that as I'm walking and encountering different people, whether it's a friendship or a person on the street, that at any time I could be used to remove an obstacle from their view of the cross is an amazing way to live. It's liberating and it's very grace-filled, and I really love that. And I think it applies here too. Jesus was walking with his disciples for these 3 years, knowing that he was going to leave and preparing them to continue in faith without him. And he used so many different types of methods to show his disciples who he was and that they were called and able to continue. And let's keep in mind, again, the disciples were prideful, fearful, broken, insecure people. I'm going to repeat those things. And if you are any of those, just, you don't have to raise your hand, but just recognize it and understand that you are similar, if not exactly the same, as the disciples that Jesus called to spread the gospel. Prideful, broken, insecure, fearful. I think that describes us all, and thank God it does. And Jesus was so creative in the way that he discipled. Sometimes he was gentle. Sometimes he was harsh and very direct. Sometimes he was mysterious. Sometimes he said, sit back and I'll do it. And other times he asked too much of them. I encourage you to read the life of Jesus and the way that he interacted with his disciples. It's amazing. And we can see with all of it that he had so much purpose. He was always seeking to remove these obstacles so that his disciples could press forward with boldness and with faith that could move mountains. And they did. So we have, of course, a lot to learn from Christ and the way he discipled. And I, lastly, I want to share, last year I had this dream or vision, and it was so distinct, and I'm not the type to usually have these types of visions and to say that they were from God, although I believe he does give dreams and visions to people. But not so much to me, but I really believe this was one, so much so that I woke up in the middle of the night, 1 or 2 in the morning, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. And it was so vivid. And I want to share with you, and I hope that it's encouraging, and that I can convey it in a way that it was as striking to you as it was to me. Unfortunately, it kind of plays out as a huge sports analogy. So if you're not like super into sports, I'm sorry, but bear with me. America is enough of a sporting nation that I think you'll all be able to understand the picture, even if you're not, you know, a huge sports fan. So I'll just try and paint the picture for you. It was kind of like a scene out of a movie, and I had an eagle eye view. And the scene is, it's a basketball game. It's really intense. The bleachers are full, crowded, it's loud, and the game is going. It's in full tilt. And then after I see the kind of the game, it pans over to a woman, a trim, athletic-looking woman sitting in the crowded bleachers, and she's leaning in intently. You can tell she knows a lot about the game and that she cares a lot about the game. She's wearing a team jersey, but it's not tucked in. Her shoes are loosely tied, and her hair is loose and falling in her face as she's cheering and yelling. And I can see that she's frustrated. She's complaining about the calls the coaches are making, the players are performance. She's frustrated. She occasionally cheers when something good happens, but then quickly sits back down in frustration and continues to criticize the game. And I can hear her thinking, you know, they could be winning if they just got it together, you know. So I hope that paints a good picture for you. And so as I'm seeing this scene play out and this woman here, suddenly, as if like a veil is lifted, I have this realization of what this picture means. And imagine now that this game that's going on is God's work on the earth, and that every player out there is a disciple of his. I look over at this woman with fresh eyes, and my heart just sinks, because I realize this woman athlete, she thinks she's a spectator or a cheerleader, or maybe she's waiting for her game to start. But for whatever reason, she doesn't realize that she's a part of that team. She is a player on that team. All of the time that she's been sitting there criticizing and complaining and being frustrated, her team has been playing a man down. And the game continues. And I look at her and I wonder, does she know it? Does she know that she's a part of that team? Does she know how skilled and capable she is? Does she know how needed she is? Does she have any idea? And as I watch, the clock is ticking down. The game is continuing. Mistakes are being made, successes, failures, botched plays, points for and against. And I don't know if this strikes you the way that it strikes me, but if you feel like that woman, please hear me. God's work is so diverse. It's so diverse, and it continues. It is as diverse as the creatures that he has made, each one of you and me. We are so unique, and we are part of his work. His work is continuing, but it continues only through the willing hearts of simple, maybe outwardly unskilled, but called disciples. We are a part of this work. So I would just encourage you, you are needed today, now. Get in the game. Tie your shoes, put your hair back, tuck your shirt in, and get in the game. And I don't know what that looks for you, and I don't know how frustrated you are with how things are done or how they could be done, but you can be a part of it, and you need to be a part of it, really. And again, like I said, this does look different for everybody. I'm not saying that everybody needs to come join me over here in Turkey, although I would love that. What I'm saying is that if you are a daughter of God, then you are called to be a disciple above anything else. It's so clear, and you are so needed. Whatever age you are, whatever season of life that you are in, if you think you are too young, if you think you are too old, if you think you are not skilled enough, if you're scared, there's so many reasons, but just know that it starts with identity, right? And out of that identity comes the fruit of the Spirit. The more that you are rooted in the love of God, the more that the fruit of the Spirit is abundant and clear in your life. And that is ministry. When the fruit of the Spirit is on display in your life, when there's patience and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness in your life, it is evident and it ministers to people. And perhaps the word disciple or ministry scare you or overwhelm you or seem old-fashioned or seem too high a calling for you, but it is not. You are a disciple, and you do have a ministry. If you have a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a husband, a child, then you have a ministry. And I want to encourage you in that. You are so needed. And that leads me into this final exercise, which is you should all have a handout. And
yeah. So I ran out of handouts. There's going to be one left up on the table. If you want to take a picture of it, it's just a take home. So if you're interested, take a picture of if you don't have your own copy. Welcome to the Daughter Disciple Workshop. I have limited time, so I'm going to dive straight in to our first section, which is mine. So I believe as women, our first step in discipleship is learning our identity in Christ. And a disciple is defined different ways, and there's not a specific definition given in the Bible. But as a, I needed a general definition for it to give to you guys and to speak from, and I defined it as just anyone who believes in Christ and is learning of Him and from Him. And there are certain practical biblical ways that we can learn of Him, and the first one is the Word of God. God gave us His written Word and His thoughts to study and learn from, an example, and just the most guidance I believe the word has for us. And we also, of course, have church. We have pastors, teachers, Bible studies, Bible college, wise friends, different. I mean, there's tons of stuff available now. If you're looking to study, and of course we also have prayer, and all these things, they help us on our path. And once we start down this path, we begin to learn who we are in Him. And my sister-in-law Liz and I have been working on a book project for about women's discipleship, and that's why they asked us to do this workshop. And she is in Turkey, so I have a video segment that I'll play after that she recorded for us. So this book is really, it's about the importance of seeking wholeness in Christ, spiritual wholeness. And it begins with learning our identity in Him. And that's the part I'm going to talk about. And Liz goes over the discipleship part. But everyone is looking to be known and to have an identity. This stems from our base need. We want to be defined and understood, and then we want to be accepted and loved. And I am offered definitions of who I am by everything in my life. Like, in both good and bad ways, I am given definition in life. I'm a female, I'm a sister, a daughter, a wife, a mother. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I do accounting, also part-time. And, like, even in our ministry, that can give us a definition. Like, I organize a mom's Bible study, so I can be defined by all these different things. All of our roles come with definition. And not only do they come with definition, but each of us has a unique perspective on what those roles are, like what it means to be a stay-at-home mom to one person. Maybe that's a very valuable thing, and to another person, it's not a valuable thing. And we have different values placed on these roles. So there's a lot of perspective and a lot of varying definition and value out there for all of these different things. But who are we? Who am I? Yes, I'm a mom, but I am not only a mom. And I am a wife, but that is not who I am. Like, I am not any of the roles that I have. And my worth and value is not in my roles. Like, I have value because God values me. You have value because God values you. Christ died for me. Christ died for you. Like, he first loved us. And that is the good news that we have. And so as I begin to learn this, I am looking away from myself and I'm looking to him. And as a follower of Christ, we have so many things, but I chose three of them just to highlight. First of all, I'm learning who I am. Like, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Second,